My mother never dash me way. Your mother never dash you way. So make the baby born, make the baby enjoy life for that me say. Where the baby mother them? We love them son and love them daughter, yeah. It's the true story, pimpin.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Talks with Treshane. And today we'll be tackling the most controversial of controversial topics. Drum roll, please. Abortion. Yes, guys. Today we'll be diving headfirst into this topic that many people in society tend to shy away from. Nothing is off limits. We'll be talking objectively about everything from when does life begin to the justification or unjustification of abortion. I'm Trishana Douglas.
And I'm Keishani Virgo.
Keep listening because it's going to be a very exciting podcast.
All right, guys. So we have two parts to this topic. In this first part, we'll be tackling the definition of abortion, moral subjectivity, the morality, whether it's morally right or wrong, and of course, the big question, when does life begin? Without further ado, let's get right into it.
Okay, so guys, abortion is when a pregnancy is ended so that it does not result in the birth of a child. And I'm sure we all know what abortion is, but did you know that there are two specific types of treatments? And under those two types, it is separated based on how far the pregnancy is. So the first type is medical abortion, and this is the abortion pill. And the first one is up to 10 weeks, you take medication to cause an early miscarriage, and this is the form of abortion. And when it's 10 to 24 weeks, you take medication to cause the womb to contract and push out the fetus. But at this point, when the womb contracts and pushes out the fetus won't be quote-unquote alive. And then you have the second type, which is surgical abortion. This is up to 15 weeks and it happens by removing the fetus by gentle suction. And if the pregnancy is 15 to 24 weeks, the fetus is removed by forceps and gentle suction.
All right, so what does moral subjectivity have to say about abortion? And in what instance can abortion be deemed morally okay or morally wrong? The main issue with morality and abortion is the consideration of the act as murder. But is it really murder though? That is abortion during the safe periods really murder? At the point where the fetus is not yet developed, is it murder? Let us look at the facts of it all. The World Health Organization deems the period allowed for safe abortions of a fetus is up to 12 weeks from the first day of your last period. As we said, persons who condemn abortion usually does so on the basis of murder, as they consider the fetus, which in most cases is simply a ball of tissue, an independent human being. And why we say in most cases it's simply a ball of tissue, because based on Planned Parenthood, 65% of abortions take place in the first 8 weeks, 91% within 13 weeks, and only 1.4% after 21 weeks. So before we continue, we must highlight that one, we're presenting an unbiased view of the topic, and two, we're not in support of the termination of a developed fetus. So without further ado, let's continue. During the abortion debate, there are two sides. There are the pro-lifers and the pro-choicers. In response to the pro-lifers claim that abortion is murder, pro-choicers would say that a fertilized egg cannot be considered a human being, and only seem to be considered human by pro-lifers when it comes to the topic of abortion. Also, the majority of fertilized eggs do not make it to birth, and about 85% of fertilized eggs and essentially unknown pregnancies end in miscarriages and are often mistaken for periods. Yet, these aren't given the same effort and conversation that pro-lifers give to abortion. There aren't any widespread researches or push for researches that want to find out why 85% of fertilized eggs do not make it to birth. So is it perhaps because deep down it is a known fact that an undeveloped fetus is merely a ball of tissue, and secretly pro-lifers aren't even pro-life, they are pro-birth? Because we see how crowded these adoption centers are, and the common argument that is put forward is, why not bring the baby to term and then give it up for adoption? But how many of the persons who are suggesting this aid adoption centers or even adopt persons who are in, or children who are in foster care? Many of them haven't even stepped foot into a foster home to say they
Yes, and the foster system is very, very disorganized.
Exactly.
And what I have realized is that once a child is past the age of 10, their likelihood to be adopted goes down by 50%.
Basically.
And it keeps on going down as they become teenagers. And by the time that they are 18, they are shipped out, because at that time they are an adult and everybody wants a shiny new baby. Nobody would like to adopt a teenager. So there is a major problem with the whole adoption process as well.
Exactly. And they keep on using adoption as like a alternative. When we see the state of the foster homes, we see the state of these homes, and they themselves do not contribute to persons who are trying to make these children who are part of the foster system feel like, you know, somebody. Them not
right, because you can grow up in the foster system and still not be loved, and that begs the question: is it worth it to carry the pregnancy full term, give up the child for adoption, and the child grows in this dark world where they don't know love, they don't know passion? And I feel it is my opinion that carrying a child into a world with no love is quite selfish.
Right.
Why would you do that? You get me? Why would you bring someone into such a horrible, horrible place?
So they question the morality of abortion, but in the same breath, they don't question how morally wrong it seems to bring a child into a situation where you know the likelihood for them to be loved and cared for as a person, as a child who was planned for, or who the mother wanted to bring to term, is that why isn't the morality of that being questioned? That's what I would like to know. And sometimes those children who the mothers are forced to carry the pregnancy, they don't give them up for adoption, and then the child ends up growing in a situation where they aren't loved, they are abused, they grow feeling the resentment of their mothers or of their parents. Is that morally correct to subject a child to that? Exactly.
And on the other spectrum, on the other side, you have persons who, you have children who are carrying children, people who have been raped, people who have been having sexual relations with family members, and we also have to ask, is it morally right for them to carry the pregnancy to full term? I don't know if you remember this, but 2 or 3 years ago, there was this video circulating in the media of a 10-year-old girl being harassed on her way to the abortion center, where I think someone raped her and she was about to get an abortion. And there were grown adults, grown people with posters, and they were cursing and throwing stones and rocks at this 10-year-old child. for choosing to get a child.
The irony of the situation is they are condemning her for something that they claim is morally wrong, but at the same time, how they go about trying to show her that it is wrong is by abusing her further with the unborn child that they are trying to save. How ironic is that?
And is it morally right for a child to be carrying a child?
Exactly. And that's when moral subjectivity comes into play, when it relates to children and rape, or rape overall, and incestual acts, because there are persons who think that abortion is wrong, but when it comes down to rape, or comes down to incest, or comes down to children pregnancies, they think that, okay, they have the choice, or they have a wild card to say, okay, this one, every other one wrong, you know, every other else one wrong, but this one, we can give it a pass. Yeah, we can give it a pass.
But what is the difference? What is the difference between
there's literally no
a child being raped, or a child whose body cannot carry the pregnancy full term, and an adult, a 24-year-old whose body also cannot carry the pregnancy full term and wants to get an abortion? What is the difference between those other than age? You get me? Shouldn't they also be allowed, or shouldn't there be one clear-cut rule? If abortion is morally incorrect, then it should be morally incorrect for everybody, and if it's morally correct, then it should be morally correct for everybody. There are patches and holes and gray areas in this whole spectrum of abortion. I don't know if you realize it. Where is it? This is wrong about, but if such and such then, or if such and such then, and then when you're looking at the gray areas and ifs and the buts and the loopholes, you are really questioning, then what is the morality of it all, right?
Because to the gray
if
area
there first. Isn't right, if there isn't one clear-cut rule, then what is it, right?
Before
is it good?
Before
is
we
it
touch
evil?
On, before we touch on the gray area of it all, look at it. The example that you gave, a 10-year-old body cannot carry the fetus without there being damage or even death. Likewise, a 24-year-old who may have some underlying health issues, in the bid to save a fetus's life, right? You say that abortion is illegal, but at the same time, you're jeopardizing somebody else's life, because the mother can die. Because the 10-year-old body can't bring a 10-year-old is a child. Their body isn't developed to undergo that type of... No, people feel like pregnancy is a walk in the park, and we need to understand that pregnancy is not a walk in the park. The most stress that our body has to undergo during pregnancy. I don't know what's over that.
The morning sickness and the bloating and the spotting and the lack of appetite and the increased appetite. Women go through so many
things. We go through
a lot of persons don't understand this, like, oh, just 9 months and then pop a baby out, and it really isn't like that. You can be 24 and be quote-unquote developed and still not be able to have a child.
Under a lot of underlying issues,
right,
can jeopardize our health and our life. So I want to know if these people are really so pro-life, right? I, as a 24-year-old, say, okay, I'm pregnant, but then the doctor say, if I bring this baby to term and give birth, it's a likelihood, 95% chance I will die because my body cannot handle it because of underlying health issues.
Mm-hmm.
But pro-lifers want to tell me abortion is wrong, so I can't do it. So I'm going to choose a fetus who is not yet recognizable has developed, the baby underdeveloped, just a ball of tissue at that point, mm-hmm. I'm going to prioritize that ball of tissue over my life. Pro-lifers, as I said before, they are much less pro-life as they are pro-birth. They are more pro-birth because after birth, they don't really care what else comes.
That is true, because there's no remission for persons who have gone through hours of labor, almost died, hectic childbirth. There is no remission for that. There's no therapy. There's no, okay, we're going to help you. We're going to, you know, carry you to classes. We're going to provide financial aid. There's nothing like that. There's like, okay, just don't abort the baby. I feel like,
okay, yes, and they do not take into, yeah, and consider things like postpartum depression, the depression that you can fall in, that you get so, you go into a dark place and you get so suicidal. They are just like, okay, don't tell the baby, just have the baby and everything's gonna be fine and dandy because you save a life, right?
Mm-hmm.
They act like a fetus is not indistinguishable from a child. They pretend as if terminating a 3-week pregnancy is remotely the same as terminating, for example, a 30-week pregnancy. There is a distinguishable difference, but they group it into one thing, and then they play on that one thing and make people feel guilty and guilt-trip persons, even rape victims, something as sensitive as rape. You have the ones who use their moral subjectivity and say, okay, you get a pass for abortion because
rape is
rape.
Morally
then
incorrect.
You have, yeah, then you have the other ones that say, still carry the baby, it's God's gift to you, whatever. There is not a single thing in this world that could strip you of your dignity or make you feel such shame and trauma as being legally forced to carry and to have your baby, your rapist baby, all in the name of being pro-abortion. It just simply doesn't make sense, the trauma and everything. It just doesn't make sense. And then when we're talking about murder now, would we categorize the termination of a 3-week pregnancy or a pregnancy during the
first trimester?
The first trimester, the safe period.
Because
as the same as me come and cut off your neck, Trish.
Right, because it is, when does life start? Does life begin at conception? Does life begin in the second trimester? Does life begin at birth? When does life begin? And does the fetus have life? And if it does have life, then what set of rights is it, does it have, right? The right to live, the right to breathe, the right to this, that, and the third.
When
but you cannot have certain rights if you aren't alive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right, but in answering the question, you have to consider, a few things, like the fact that studies show and have confirmed that fetuses cannot feel pain until 24 weeks because they do not have the brain connection to do so. So, if we're going to categorize abortion as murder, right? If me come kill you right now, you will feel it. But if I terminate a pregnancy before 24 weeks,
the fetus won't.
The fetus feels remotely no pain.
So it does not have life.
And is that essentially then murder?
Right.
Because how are you going to kill or, you know, yeah, basically kill something that isn't even aware that it is being killed because they cannot feel it.
But can you kill something that didn't have life to begin with? That is a very important question that we need to ponder.
That is a very important question. And then we can't even answer that question because persons are going to, or persons can debate in such a way that says, as soon as the fertilized egg, as soon as the sperm fertilizes the egg, life begins. Because a single cell determines life or something of the sort. But if we're even considering that, before I get back to your question, if we're even considering that, once the sperm fertilizes the egg, right? Somebody has sex today. The male ejaculates into the female, egg is fertilized or whatever. Then a day or two later, the person takes the plan B. Is that then murder, since they are essentially stopping the development of the fertilized egg? Is that murder? And is that abortion? And are persons who are so against abortion, why are they so against plan B? Yeah.
And the forms of contraceptives.
Exactly.
That's a very good question. And protests for and against abortion are shaped by bipolar narratives of good and evil, mm-hmm. right? Right and wrong. Because this all stems from what is morally right, what is morally justified, and what is morally incorrect and looked down upon. And it is shown, or it is seen, it is very evident that abortion has never simply been an issue about individual health or social benefit. And this focus leaves us with a hopelessly tangled muddle of the personal and political, which satisfies essentially no one.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyed part one of the infamous abortion debates? Well, we've got part two waiting for you. Click our profile to listen and also support our pod by saving, following, or subscribing if you're listening on Anchor, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. And of course, listener ads. One is going to play right now. So enjoy.
Me, I tell her no fling it well. She still no bring it, yeah. She make her friend them influence her we fling it well. And that must show me head. Call me a boy, we love my pick me them. She make her friend them influence her we fling it well.